the South, written by Colm Tobin and read by Aoife McMahon.
Introduction. The South, 25 years on. She reminded herself that she could leave at any time she wanted. The South is, in more than one sense, a novel about new departures. The freedom which Catherine Proctor asserts is hard won, and she clings to it. But Colm Tobin's extraordinary first novel traces the way that actions have consequences, and history lays its hold upon us all. It also announced the arrival of a new novelist with a new style. Economical, lapidary, incantatory, and a new kind of Irish novel. 25 years later, in the light of the series of path-breaking works which followed it, it is possible to see how Tobin's assured debut established hallmarks and themes which have dominated his oeuvre. But it is also clear that his first novel appeared at a time, 1990, when old moulds were being broken, new voices were about to be heard, and Irish fiction, so long defined with short stories in the Chekhovian mode, was about to be characterised by the emergence of a new range of accomplished and original novelists. This coincided with the unprecedented expansion of the Irish economy and the fast-forward development of Irish social mores, now known and satirised as the Celtic Tiger phenomenon. As old taboos were challenged, ancient limitations transcended, and unsettling new ideas explored, a new kind of Irish novel began to appear from writers such as Dermot Bulger, Anne Enright, Roddy Doyle, Patrick McCabe, Sebastian Barry, and, in the North, Robert McLean Wilson and Glenn Patterson. Works that were often both stimulated by and mordantly critical of key aspects of the new dispensation. Tobin was well to the fore, and, as with John Banville, he had been marking out uncharted territory for some time, though in journalism rather than fiction. Thus, in the South, both author and protagonist were striking out on a new path. The novel is about a painter, and it is written with a painterly eye. The way Catherine works on a canvas, the structure of line and the infusion of colour, suggests something of the architecture of a painting by the Irish artists Tony O'Malley or Barry Cook. Brought up at an angle to the Irish universe, her upper-class Protestant background and her repudiation of it resonates with the world of highly talented and individual Irish women artists in the mid-20th century. One thinks of Nora McGuinness, Joan Jameson, Letitia Hamilton, Estella Solomons, Kitty Wilmer O'Brien. The narrative devices of the novel are indirect and implicit. Catherine sees things rather than feels them, and her reactions are often strangely distanced. She is independent, observant, sometimes unashamedly selfish, with the sense of self-preservation necessary for an artist's survival, a quality denied to the Spanish painter she will fall in love with. The structure of the novel manipulates dramatic changes in theme and locale. It is, in some ways, a novel of two halves, a construction which Tobin would explore in later works, such as The Story of the Night. But it is told with a kind of supercharged restraint, rare in a first novel. From the fierce, silent cinematic scene with which the novel opens, a near rape on a night train, a powerful sense of drama is built up at key points of the story. Tobin's unremittingly laconic and elliptical narrative remorselessly carries us along with Catherine on her strange and in some ways circular journey. And, as the title announces, it is central to the novel that this is a journey south, from the wet Slaney Valley in County Wexford to the exoticism of the Barrio Gótico in Barcelona, and then the mountains of Catalonia. But the South not only represents the scorching sun and harsh beauty of Spain, it is also the South of Ireland, De Valera's Republic, which Catherine runs away from, like her mother before her.